are listening to the Tableau Podcast.
Welcome to the Tableau Podcast, the podcast that talks about superheroes, apocalyptic bunkers, honey, just cults. We talk about a lot of crazy things, but we don't talk enough about what we're supposed to talk about, which is art and music. Because I think we're in the music category.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I just realized this because I was looking at, my friend was like, so you started a podcast and I want to listen to it. Send it over. And I was going to send him a link and I went in to Apple Podcasts and I realized that we're in the society, culture section and also the music commentary section. And I don't think we've talked very much about art or music.
Yeah.
Like at all.
I mean,
we've talked about zombies and Elon Musk and Spider-Man and Disney and Sony. We've even had a guest, you know, we've had Jacob from like Ned from Spider-Man here.
Yeah.
But we have not talked about music really. I mean, everything we talked about is art if you think about
That's
it,
right?
That's
what I was saying.
And music is art. So like everything I talked about is technically like music commentary because it's music to your ears.
You could say this is art.
What? Right now, what I'm doing? Oh, podcasting itself is art.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of music without the music part, right? It's just my voice, right? It's my voice. And I'm a musician. So if you're hearing my voice, it's like music. I'm like performing, right? This is like performance art is basically what I'm saying. So we are abiding by our category.
Yeah.
Okay. But I realized that we weren't talking about art at all because of your shirt, actually.
Oh.
I like your shirt that you're wearing today, Diane.
Yes.
So Diane is wearing a shirt that is obviously like one of a kind. It was probably made by an artist, right?
Yeah. I tagged along to Field Dogs, who's a Korean rapper.
Uh-huh. Field Dog? Yeah, I met him. I met him about a month ago.
Oh, yeah. And that was the first time I met him at a show. And I guess he had like a corner of like white shirts, long sleeve shirts. He spray painted each one individually.
So he made that like one of a kind shirt for you like on the spot?
Not for us. It was just like on a rack.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could choose which one called to you. And then you could choose from a pile of screen print options and put it on. I was not the demo for this space.
So it was like an exhibit.
Yeah.
Okay. And you can't wash that shirt. You know that, right?
Why?
What do you mean? It'll probably wash out.
Oh.
It'll become like a tie-dyed shirt.
Okay.
Did you wash it?
No.
Okay.
This is the first time I'm ever wearing it. I'm not like good at fashion.
No, that's a very fashionable shirt. What are you talking about?
Well, someone gave it to me.
Yo, being good at fashion
is
like the most unfashionable thing you can do in 2019, what is my opinion.
Should I do more normcore?
Like, oh no, but what I'm… oh my God. I just got reminded. You know normcore? Like that term?
Mm-hmm.
Like the minimal look? That's what that term is. It's like if you're wearing just like solid grays or there was like a huge like a newspaper fashion thing in Korea where they used me and Haru as like a very good example of normcore because the clothing that we were wearing at the time was very basic and it was like you know, we were wearing basic colors.
Yeah.
And so they did this whole thing about normcore, which is the only reason why I know that term.
Oh.
That's like the only fashion term I know and you mentioned it.
Whoa.
But I think like fashion, like trying to be fashionable is sort of done. You know, that may come back later, but like I think it's sort of done right now in 2019. I think like… Not like if you really think you're not fashionable because you are obviously, but if you don't think so, I think that's what's fashionable.
Really,
kind of, yeah. The reason why I mentioned this is okay. Do you know Hyogo?
Yeah.
The band?
Yeah.
Okay. So when I they used to be at a label that I ran. And at the time when I, you know, when I wanted to bring them on, a lot of people that I was showing, you know, I was showing them like their pictures. I was, you know, letting them listen to their music. A lot of people around me didn't get their fashion. And they were like, oh, dude, why do they dress this way? And I was like, dude, that this is like this is what's going to be what everyone's going to be dressing like in like a year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was right. You know, I'm not taking credit for their fashion. I mean,
yeah.
They're very fashionable, right? That's their thing. But I'm just saying, like, a year later, you go out into the streets in Hongdae and everyone's dressed like that, right? So, what we think is fashionable is probably not going to be very fashionable, like, pretty soon.
Yeah.
I just like, I think, you know, you like wearing, like, down-to-earth stuff, right?
Well, I would love a future where I dress my age.
Oh.
I feel very like a kid
a lot. Dude, that's a whole other topic we got to talk about.
Well, because like you're a musician, you're a rapper, and you know, with hip-hop, especially hip-hop and fashion go hand in hand, right? Like there's so many things that hip-hop has done for fashion
and culture. Yeah, well, basically hip-hop is fashion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so coming to Korea and, you know, in the States, I was around a lot of like, when I was in the States and working, I was around a lot of just like writers and like, you know, filmmakers and like comedians.
Uh-huh.
So the fashion for that demographic is...
It's very different.
It's, you know, purposeful normcore.
It's purposeful.
Yeah.
Like it's ironic retro.
It's a hoodie and whatever free shirt you got from an event you went to.
Yeah.
And like, you know, Goodwill jeans and stuff, right? And so... coming here and being around a lot of musicians and like
people and Eric Nam.
Well, Eric's not a good example of what I'm talking about. But I remember one time I got invited to a dinner that was like full of like cinematographers, like DJs and like producers, like music producers.
And they were like over the top, like high fashion.
They were just wearing like the latest shoes, like Stussy this. And like I literally showed up in like an old Target sweater and jeans from wherever and sneakers, and I just felt like a child.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. Like, I feel like that sometimes I need to dress my age.
Yeah.
Obviously, right? But like with the music that I'm doing and I'm always on stage and stuff, you know, sometimes like I'll be wearing stuff that like, you know, kids that are like 16, 17 want to buy. And I always have like this discussion with my stylist because I'm like, I think maybe I should like kind of dress my age, you know, regardless of the music I do, right? Because like I don't like wearing you know, I feel like, you know, I'm acting like a kid. And yeah, and that's a discussion I always have. But like I think eventually, like, what's happened to me is I've started just, like, dressing the way I feel I am, you know? Like, just comfortable, basically.
Yeah.
And that is like, has become, like, its own thing. I actually buy a lot of my clothing at, like, used stores. Like, Goodwill kind of stores. There's actually the jacket I brought today.
Oh?
It's probably exactly what I just mentioned. Like, what kids that are like 16, 17 want to buy. Okay, I got to start dressing my age.
What does that mean, though, for you?
You know, like…
For you.
Like a…
Like Adeshi?
Yeah, like a three-piece suit.
No.
And I'm like… And then I come out on stage and I'm like, I'm a born hater.
No, it'd be like a polo shirt.
Are you like making fun of me? Are you talking shit to me right now?
No, I'm saying for your age.
Dude, what are you… What are you trying to say?
I'm saying like…
You're like…
I'm saying don't like, dress your
like,
age.
What do you mean dressing like your age? Like an ajashi? Like no, like you should be wearing polos, dude. Like you should be… You should
not
be wearing
should.
Crocs. You should be wearing Crocs, dude.
Bro, I'm not saying you
loafers.
Should.
Loafers. Should I be wearing loafers? Should I be on a yacht, Diane? Should I be on a yacht?
I don't think every person your age is on a yacht.
Should I be on the top floor of a building in Wall Street?
No, you know what it is? I feel like everything you wear would be, if you were to quote unquote dress your age, be functional. That's what it is. Functional clothing. Like you use every pocket in like a vest.
Like a Patagonia situation?
Yeah.
Okay. So I bought this windbreaker from Patagonia. Patagonia?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And because it was windy. Okay? That's all it was.
Yeah.
It was fully a functional decision. It was windy and I had a shirt on and I needed to have a windbreaker to break the wind. So I bought like a Patagonia windbreaker and I met Two Cuts. And Two Cuts was like, oh my God. He's like laughing at me, right? He's like, oh my God, you look like an ajashi, dude. You look like you're going to go hiking like with your ajashi friends. And I'm like, by ajashi friends, do you mean you guys? And he's like, no, but you look, dude, you look so old. Why'd you buy that, right? And then Mithra comes and Mithra sees me and it's the same jacket. And Mithra's like, oh, Patagonia. I love Patagonia. Dude, that looks awesome. And I'm like, what? How can there be such like…
mixed reviews.
And I think that's what fashion is basically. It's like how you look at it, right?
Yeah. Well, Two Cuts literally sees fashion as a way to bypass his age.
Dude, Two Cuts… Here's how Two Cuts dresses, okay? Okay? I mean, you guys have seen Epic High stages, right? Two Cuts wears like huge logos, okay? Which I'm really against. Okay? Most of my clothing… You will not know where it's from. Like, even I don't know where my clothes that I wear are from.
Yeah.
But Two Cuts was… Like, he bought a hoodie. And I'm like, yo, what are you going to wear today on stage? And he's like, I'm going to wear a hoodie. And I'm like, what hoodie? And he's like, just a black hoodie. And I'm like, you sure? For like a concert? Like, a hoodie? Isn't that way too, like, you know, dressing down? And he's like, no, it's okay. So we get on stage and he pops up on the hoodie and I'm like, oh, he's really wearing like a black hoodie just for this show. Like he's, you know, just taking it easy. And then I'm like, DJ Two Cuts. And he goes up and he's like saying hi to the audience. And I see on his back a humongous Balenciaga. Okay. Huge block letters. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh… Again, once again. Like, all of Two Cuts clothing, you know exactly where it's from.
Yeah.
Okay? And so, Two Cuts is always, like, talking shit to me. But I gotta say, like, I don't know. I don't know if that's some great fashion.
Yeah. You don't have to consider his word to heart.
Dude, this guy's, like, has Balenciaga hoodie on. He's got, like, Supreme everything. He's probably got, like, Gucci underwear and stuff.
Probably.
Yeah, I don't… I'm not really into like logos and like expensive clothes.
Yeah.
I really don't like expensive clothes. There was a time…
Oh no.
There is one time though where… I don't know why we started talking about fashion
art,
all of a sudden.
Art.
Oh, it is art.
Yeah.
It's art that you wear, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Although I'm not a fan of like flexing logos and brand names, this one time we were in LA. This was like, I think like 3-4 years ago. Five years ago. We were in LA and we went to Supreme. Okay. Cause I think my stylist wanted to buy something.
And Supreme always has like a line.
Yeah,
like a dumb club red carpet line.
And we went to Supreme and I guess because of the way we were dressed, like they just let us in. And we got to go in a little faster. So we got in and we're buying, you know, my stylist is buying something and I see a coat, right? And it was a brown coat, like a long coat. And I was like, oh, that would be great for like fall, for autumn. And it had nothing on it. No logo whatsoever. okay, which is what I like. So I bought this coat, loved it, and like autumn came and I wore like the hell out of it for a while, right? And but one day I was like, I don't think anybody knows that this is Supreme.
Okay. And it concerned you?
I was like, I paid how much for this coat? And everybody just thinks it's like a good looking, like just a plain brown coat. Like, I don't think anybody knows that this is Supreme.
Yeah.
And I was like, when I take off my coat, like when I go into a meeting and I take off my coat and I hang the coat, like I fold the coat onto the chair, should I maybe like
stick out the tag?
Open it a little bit because it has the logo in the inside.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, why am I thinking about this? Oh my God, I'm becoming the person I hate.
Yeah.
Why does the brand matter? Right? And I'm like, will people who know fashion know that this is…
They would.
Supreme?
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't. They didn't. And I'm like, why do I want them to know? Why does it matter? Like, if they know or not. It's just how I feel in this coat. Like, that matters, right? Oh my God. I'm like, what's happening to me? That was the one short, like, moment where I was like, oh my God. These brands have so much power over you.
Have you ever participated in like fashion week or like runway shows and stuff?
Yeah. I actually many times, but I remember the very last time because that was the time that I decided not to go to them anymore.
Really?
Yeah. So Epikai would be invited to like sit in at fashion shows. There are certain fashion designers that really liked us. So we would go and, you know, just sit there. That's what you do, right?
Yeah.
You just sit there and you watch the runway. But there was one occasion where we were asked to perform at a fashion show. And I was under the impression that there would be like a stage and it would just be like any fashion show, like or any concert. And I get there and so it was set up where like I would have to perform on the runway.
Yeah, that's very, okay? That happens.
So it's like a Victoria's Secret, you know, like concert basically, right?
Yeah.
Where like the rappers are on the runway and the models are like doing their thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like passing by us.
Yeah.
And so I get out there and I'm rapping. Okay, I'm not that short. Okay, I'm not that short. Oh, why are you looking at her? Why is our cameraman? Oh my God, our camera guy. Dude. What? Seungun, right?
Yeah.
Dude, Seungun. That's, oh my God. That's the first time I've seen you make eye contact with Diane. When I was like, I'm not that short. And you're like, oh my God. Okay. Well, I think I'm average, but I wasn't that day. Okay. And all the pictures that came out from it, like it was in the press, I look tiny. I look like I'm in a forest. Okay. Like, I feel like I'm standing next to like a bunch of trees. Because these models, like they look awesome, right? And they're like super tall. And I'm standing in the middle of them rapping. And I look like small. Like, I'm fine with that. Like, I don't really care about my height or anything. Like, I don't have any complex about that. You know, I live with who I am.
Yeah.
But the picture looked like… It was like
Photoshopped
or like at least distorted in some way because it just didn't make like scientific sense. Okay. And there I am like with sunglasses, like fully decked out and trying to look cool. But I look like I'm like 11, wearing like, you know, my big brother's clothing and like hanging out with like my NBA player dad's like friends. Okay. And, I was like, oh, yo, we can't do any of these shows where like we're on the runway.
Yeah.
Because it looks weird. Like, it just looks funny.
I would only ever want to go to shows where it's like the really elaborate ones, like Chanel every year. Couture Chanel always has like a crazy set and like theme and stuff. But then also Tyler the Creator for golf.
Yo, Tyler the Creator's fashion though, like his stuff, I you know, it's not like, I wouldn't say that it's like, I think that's just like a whole different genre, you know? Like,
yeah.
That's not like high fashion. It's like a very unique thing that he has. So I'd be okay like going to his show.
Well, have you seen like videos of his like runway shows?
Yeah.
They're crazy. Like yeah, with the insane. Skateboarders yeah, like going like, through.
It would be just like hanging out with like, you know, friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's because my friends have like skateboarders.
In their living room,
just skateboarding while they talk and play PlayStation. But what I'm saying is, I'm more comfortable in that kind of situation. Like, also, you know, going on a tangent from fashion, like, have you been to, like you said, you went to Field Dog Show, but have you been to a lot of like art exhibits, like that where the artist is there and it's like really hip and like. Really?
I've been to photography ones.
I, like, the only thing I do on tours is go to galleries. And because my members, like, don't really like art. Like, they don't like to go see art. They don't like galleries. So, I always go by myself. And the thing is, I like quiet galleries where, like, I can just… you know, freely roam. But there are certain shows that are, you know, those like Instagrammable shows that are super popular right now.
Oh, like the ice cream
yeah,
museum.
Yeah, you know, for the, like the last few years, like every, you know, every art exhibit is like specifically tailored so that you will take Instagram photos.
Yeah.
And there are just a ton of people there that are there to get that Instagram photo as opposed to just, you know, looking at the art. So, and it's very crowded because of that. I'm not saying that, you know, they're bad in any way. I'm saying, you know, if that's something that they want for their IG, that's fine, right? If that's because it looks pretty,
yeah.
Right? It looks neat. But I'm saying it's just like crowded. So I don't like to go see art where it's very crowded. But one big thing that I went to was in LA, and it was like this. It was like a photography slash street art kind of exhibit. And I get there and I was being introduced to the artist at the time. And someone wanted to introduce me to the artist. So I went there and I met the artist and I actually met Travis Scott.
Oh.
So there's a picture of me online with Travis Scott and that's when we met. So it was at that thing. And the artist was like showing me his stuff and he was like incredible. He was a really nice guy too. And he's showing me this stuff. And then we go downstairs and there's like a bunch of people, right? It's like a party. Like this gallery was packed and it was a small gallery, right? It was like a boutique gallery. And on the wall, there were like a bunch of pictures of like, it was like the same picture almost, right? Of Justin Bieber. So I'm like, huh? And people were drawing stuff on Justin Bieber.
Oh.
Okay? And the artist was like, hey, do you guys want to draw some stuff too? And we're like, huh? What? And they gave us like these like color pens and markers and stuff like that. And I look and some of the people that were like drawing on the picture, on the pictures, they were incredible. Like some of these guys were like recreating that shot into something like completely new. Like some people were doing graffiti. Some people were doing like just like expressionist art. It was just incredible, mm-hmm. Right? So here, like the way I am, I'm like, I'm feeling the challenge. I'm like, we're like the only Koreans here right now. Like let's show them what's up, right? And so Two Cuts and I were like, we're gonna take this challenge.
Yeah.
And so we… What Two Cuts drew, okay, here's what I drew. I don't know why I did this, but so it's a picture of Justin Bieber like against just blank white, right? Okay. And I drew one of his hands into a carrot. Okay, so I turned one of it. He's like posing like this, and I turned one of Justin's hands into a carrot, and then I turned his head, his whole face and head, into a creepy looking pink bear. Okay.
Okay.
A creepy looking pink bear.
Yeah.
So he's got like teddy bear ears. He's got like these crazy eyes. He's got like a pink nose. And like he's got like fur all over his face. And then Two Cuts turned Justin Bieber into a giant carrot. Okay?
Okay.
Just basically turned him into a humongous carrot. He's just all like dressed in an orange suit with like green like hair and into a big carrot.
Okay.
And wrote, "I'm a born hater" on it. And then we signed it. And we're like, okay, that was horrible. And then like a few months later, Justin Bieber's music video comes out, right?
For what song?
The song was called, let me look it up. Justin Bieber, Skrillex, and Diplo put out a song called "Where Are You Now?"
That song?
Yeah, yeah. And the music video came out, right? And our drawings were in the music video. So what this whole exhibit was Justin Bieber was collecting these stills of you know, that of people like drawing stuff on those stills.
Yeah.
And using it like animation in the music video. Okay? But our drawings made it into, of all those amazing drawings, I don't know why ours got picked. But both of our drawings made it into the music video. And then screen grabs came out and it was in the press, right? Like
yeah.
Epikai appears in Justin Bieber's…
Oh, because Born Hater is like a clear indicator too.
On mine, I wrote, "My high is epic."
Oh.
Okay. And I think a clip of us actually drawing the stuff was maybe in the video. I don't know. But it was like in the press. And it was so funny. Like that… I felt so bad because our drawings were like horrible. Like if I had known that it was going to be in a Justin Bieber like music video for sure.
Yeah.
I would have like, you know, brought out the inner Leonardo da Vinci.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was just, you know, for fun. But it was in the video.
What a surprise.
So that was a crazy… That was like one of the most interesting art gallery experiences I had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went to an exhibition in Seoul with Gentle Monster and Mino.
The sunglasses company,
yeah.
And Mino from…
So I didn't know…
From Winner.
Yes.
Okay.
So
no Thanks.
What?
Okay. Epic High has a song called No Thank You with Mino on it.
Oh, okay.
Diane does not give a shit about me at all. Okay, but anyways.
I went not knowing what Gentle Monster was. I had no idea it was a sunglass brand.
Okay. I actually didn't know for a long time too, so it's okay. I wore, like, they sent me some of their sunglasses and
yeah.
I was wearing it on stage. I didn't even know that it was… that. So it's totally fine.
Because I just kept seeing ads for it. Mm-hmm. Saying like Gentle Monster in collaboration with Mino.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh.
Mino.
I like seeing art. So I was just like, oh, I'll see it. I thought Gentle Monster was some kind of like art group or something.
Mino's a… Like Song Mino from Winner. He's a exceptional artist.
Yeah.
He like… There's a drawing that he did of like… We have a song, Born Hater.
Oh, okay.
And Mino was also in that song. So he drew like a drawing of all of us. And that drawing was like fantastic. And it was more like a cartoon drawing. But other than just cartoons too, like he also does a lot of painting and stuff. And he's really into art. Yo, one of the people that you don't want to go to any of these exhibits with is Two Cuts. He will just ruin your experience. he's one of those guys that spends the entire like half an hour to an hour that you're there saying, what the fuck? I could do that.
I hate when people say that. But, I really genuinely do not like it when people say that about anything.
But like, Two Cuts like really means it though. That's the thing.
Yeah.
He's like, at first I thought he was doing it to just annoy me.
Yeah.
Like we would go to like MoMA or like the Whitney and then he would just be like, dude, what? I could do that. And I'm like, dude, I hate people that say that.
Yeah.
Man, just like, can you not say that? Like, because you didn't do that and that person did it. Come on, let's just not say that.
Yeah.
And then he kept doing it. Like every single painting or like sculpture, he would be like, what is this? Is this black paint? I could do that. And I'm like, dude, stop. And then eventually, like as he kept repeating it, I noticed that he really was thinking it. Like at one point he would just be like, wait a minute, should I be a pop artist? Because I really think I can do that.
Picasso.
And I'm like, it went from annoying to seeing like the birth of an artist. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, wait, was this guy just trying to be like annoying and like cynical and like just a pain in the ass? Or is this guy really like feeling like he could pull some of this off, yeah, right? And then we went to like the Brooklyn Museum and we're looking at stuff and he's like, I can do that. And I'm like, I'm like, dude, that's Basquiat.
You're like, since when have you ever done anything close to that?
Yeah, I'm like, that's Basquiat though. And he's like, yeah, but I can do that. And I'm like, are you serious? Like, are you serious right now? Or are you just trying to know me? And he's like, no, I want to be a pop artist. Maybe I should be a pop artist. And I was like, okay, try it. And to this day, he has not created a single work of art at all.
Yeah.
But yeah, Two Cuts is one of those guys.
Well, you know, like the whole like avant-garde thing, right? Which is like the idea, it's almost like art for artists.
Yeah.
So like things that like when people say…
Like Duchamp. Yeah.
Yeah. So when the whole thing of like, I don't get it. And it's like, you're not supposed to get it. And it's like truly logistical. It's like you literally don't know like the material or the actual like technique involved. Yeah. Because you yourself are not an artist.
You know, Baek Nam-jun? The video art. Korean master of like video art.
Oh no.
His work is basically in like, you know, every major art gallery in the world, like Guggenheim, just everywhere, right? And he is like one of the definitive like modern artists ever. And for like one of his exhibits, I did the you know, the audio like guide.
Uh-huh.
So I did the audio guide. It was in my voice, right?
Yeah.
And when I was recording it, I did not understand what I was saying most of the time. Because, you know, like some of the concepts are like out there. And I'm like, wait, people are gonna be listening to me to get an explanation as to what this work is, and I'm telling them what it is. And I'm not understanding what I'm saying.
I can hear, like, now in my head, just, like, every sentence is phrased like a question.
Yeah,
because
like,
you don't know what you're saying.
That's actually what I was getting at. That's what was happening. I'm like, so this was to show, like, the urgency of, like, we're, like, expressionism and, like, cubist and art and, like Picasso. And I'm like, and everything I'm like, and of cubism? and then I'm like, and then they're like, can we record that again? I'm like, okay. And I'm recording again. And it was hilarious. I'm like, and you know, Duchamp and the toilet bowl? And I'm like, the urinal? Yeah. So I don't know. A lot of people, you know, you either love art or like hate it or don't get it, whatever, you know, but it's like, I wish though that we redefine like what we think of as art and poetry though.
Okay. Like okay. Distinctions, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's you know, civilization has been around a very, 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 very long time, right? Okay.
Some would say.
Yeah. And like poetry. Okay, I'm a literature guy. Okay, and I write poems. I studied poetry. And here's the thing. Okay, do you still see that, like, when, okay, there are great music, right? Great songwriters, who are writing songs that are poetry. But do you notice how it's always described as it's like poetry?
Oh, yeah.
Or it's, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, for example, like, you know, like Bob Dylan's.
Yeah.
Lyrics are like poetry.
Yeah.
Right? Which is really weird, because you would not take a poet's work or a poem and say this is like a poem. You would say it's a poem.
Mm-hmm.
And like, okay, when Nas, the rapper Nas, when he dropped Illmatic, that was one of the first CDs I ever bought, right? And I was listening to it. I bought it actually because the explicit lyrics thing was on it, and I just wanted him to cuss. But I was like pleasantly surprised by how intricate the lyrics were, right? And I'm like, this is poetry. And a lot of articles came out at the time where they were lauding Nas's lyrics and saying, you know, this is like poetry. And I was like, what? Why do they use this is like poetry, or this is like art? It's almost art, right? And like, for example, Beyonce puts out a music video and it's art. But a lot of times I read and hear people say it's almost like art.
Oh my god,
this is art, as in like it has to be said.
Yeah.
You know, like, you wouldn't go to like a gallery, you wouldn't go to the MoMA and see like a Gauguin painting or like a Van Gogh painting and be like, this is almost like art, like, or like this is art.
Yeah.
Right? It would be redundant. Like, it would be unnecessary to say, even. And that's the thing. Like, I don't think we're living in a time where we need to distinguish between things that are art and things that are like art, and yeah, things that are poetry and things that are like poetry, right? Because I think every genre or anything that people can do, like film, music, like hip hop, fashion,
architecture,
photography, like interior design, even the design of this stapler, for example.
Yeah.
I think
engineering,
engineering, technology, in any field, you can take it to a point where it's just unbelievable, where it is art, where it is poetry. And to distinguish between, like, and I get this a lot because I'm in like songwriting, I'm in hip hop, okay? And and like, for me as a writer, back then when I would write short stories or like plays and or write poetry, it's no different from when I'm writing my rap verses. Like, there's absolutely no difference except for the fact that my rap verses rhyme, right? Because it's an audible art.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm in no different mind state, and I'm actually not touching on any different topics. You know, I'm still concerned with the same topics and writing with the same passion. And what I found odd at the beginning, like when I was in college, I would write poetry and my professors would love it. And then afterwards I would, you know, go to my room and I would write rap so that I could perform it like at night at some stage. All of a sudden it's not poetry.
Mm.
And like, if I do it really well, somebody will say it's like poetry.
Yeah.
It's almost like poetry, or it's poetic. Or, you know, it could be compared to poetry.
Yeah.
And I always found that odd as a person who does it, you know, who does the thing.
What is it? Slam poetry?
Yeah.
Slam poetry.
Spoken word.
Well, spoken word. Well, Chance the Rapper, Lily was like a slam poet.
Yeah, I did.
Which obviously comes through in his style of rap.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. It's like, but I do find these like distinctions. And the reason why I say it is it's actually a disservice to poets too. And I don't think they get that. I think a lot of art critics and artists themselves who are doing what we call fine arts are afraid because they need to protect that space. You know what I mean? Like people who are writing classic, like, you know, just what we consider like just poetry, right? Like poets. I think some of them are afraid of, you know, losing that ground that they have, that territory that they have. And same thing with like classical music, same thing with like, you know, some jazz critics. For example, like Tribe Called Quest, their music is jazz, you know? To me, it is jazz. It's not like they're not doing an homage to jazz. They are doing jazz. They're carrying on that tradition to me.
Yeah.
And but there are critics who are like trying to protect what they have because you know, to give them something, like, yes, it is very important to maintain that tradition and to maintain that core. But I think if we stop having these really, you know, well-defined distinctions and like if we stop policing them, I think they have more to benefit, you know? Yeah. And I don't know why sometimes like I see like things written by critics and they seem like almost like they're threatened by, you know, sharing this.
Yeah.
When the entire purpose of music, fashion, art, poetry is to be shared.
Yeah.
You know, with the widest possible audience.
Well, it's just like accepting that there's no rules.
Yeah. Exactly.
There's
right?
no rules. So it's like, what is there to even technically criticize?
Yeah.
There's no rules that someone followed or didn't follow.
Yeah. Yeah. And often, like I would say this, often it feels like a great grandfather looking at their great grandson or great granddaughter or a great grandmother looking at their great granddaughter or son and saying, "You didn't come from me."
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that would be fucking ridiculous. And that would be the worst great-grandfather ever, right?
Yeah.
Worst great-grandmother ever. And
that's a mug.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, "You didn't come from me." Yes, we did.
Why do you think we're on Mars?
We evolved it. We made it better. We made it more interesting. Some of it is worse, but some of it is also great, is what I think.
Cool.
That's my that's my thesis paper right now on
And that's why I like animals.
Yeah. Because I'm a fan of both.
Yeah.
There were a lot of DMs that were asking about like the artistic process, the creative process, and like music, because we are technically a music commentary podcast. But a lot of these questions were like this, though. Reiko B asked, "Tableau, what's it like to work with Min Yoongi on a song?" Okay, so Yoongi is Suga from BTS.
Okay.
There were a lot of DMs asking what it's like. It's like working with any other artist that is very talented and passionate. And also like me and him, we vibe really well creative wise, like music wise. So, it was a very simple process. I think we finished the song in a matter of days, but like the actual creation part didn't take a few hours even.
Is it just because you were so on the same page?
Yeah. Like the vibe that he likes and also the vibe that I like, we actually collabed on two songs this year, right? I wrote a song for Lee Sora and he was featured on it. And that worked out really fast as well. And the song that he wrote with us on our album, Eternal Sunshine, was, you know, it came out super fast. It was the song on the album that came out fastest from like inception to execution. And I think, you know, there are certain artists where that happens. There are certain artists that are great to work with, but it the process is longer, right? Because you have to get a lot of different tangents like on the same page. So yeah, it was pretty awesome. There was also like one question where somebody was thinking about becoming like a producer, I think.
Music producer?
Okay, so this person's handle, IG handle is producer justin. So prod.just.in. Hey yo, Blow. What's a good path to take when trying to get your foot in the door in the Korean music industry as an artist, producer, engineer? I feel like the industry is very corporate and there's not many ways to get opportunities unless you take the trainee company route. How did you do it? And do you have any tips? Regardless, big fan of the podcast and obviously your music as well. Thank you very much. Thank you, producer Justin. Yeah, it is super corporate. It's super corporate, not just in Korea, but like everywhere else. You know, let me first say this. Judging from like the many interviews I've done with like foreign press, okay, I really do not like or appreciate that they try to pigeonhole like K-pop and like the Korean music industry as like this super like factory-like corporate like machine.
Yeah.
Okay. Because where the hell do you think we got that from? Like honestly, where do you think that system came from? I mean, that's been around for a very, very long time, and it happens in everywhere else too. You know. And also, what I don't like is that they only focus on like a few specific cases where that happens and then make it seem like every single part of this scene here is like that. And no, we have like, I think possibly the most interesting independent scene anywhere in the world.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, like the music scene here, like from live concerts to clubs to like, just people performing on the street, like the different genres we have, like the different, you know, messages, the different like crews, everything is very, very vibrant and alive. And even with some of the companies that are being like described as super like factory-like, I know a ton of artists that are super independent and super creative. And even if there are certain things that they have to do to, you know, to like, you know, certain things like choreography and stuff like that, right? Certain things that they have to do, they still have enough room to, you know, write songs and be creative, right? But I just needed to say that because a lot of the times when I get questions like this, there's a misconception that Korean industry is like somehow more corporate.
Yeah.
And the reason, and Justin's not saying that, producer Justin here isn't saying that. But the reason why I'm telling you this is that
there is a space for indie artists.
Yeah. And also on the flip side, America is the same way too, or wherever you are. Any industry that makes money, that makes a ton of money, you're going to have a corporate structure. Because they want to make more money. They want to create a system where, you know, they can continue to make profits and secure their profits, right? And that's when corruption begins and that, you know, and just crazy things happen. And but that's just the way it is anywhere. And I think if you want to be like an artist, producer, engineer in this kind of climate, there definitely are more opportunities than just being a trainee or doing the company route. For me, for example, like I was inadvertently, you know, I had to take that independent route sort of because I had no choice. Like, because I was in a genre that big, like, labels at the time were not interested in. Like, the same big labels that exist now, you know, most of them existed back then when I started. And the thing is, you know, they didn't want to, you know, do hip-hop because it wasn't... There were certain companies that told me flat out that my music would never get big. Just told me to my face. And I was like, I'll make it big on my own then. And so I had to sign with, like, a label that at the time... wasn't really a big company. It was like 2-3 employees. And, you know, I went through a lot of hardships, a lot of complicated things that I mentioned in a previous Tableau podcast. So go check that out. But what I'm saying is, I didn't have much of a choice. And at the time, we didn't have SoundCloud. YouTube was not around. We didn't have social media. So, like, if you wanted people to hear your music, you literally had to, like, burn it on a CD and, like, pass it around. You had to, like, physically, like, visit, an artist or a company and, like, hand it over to them and hope that they won't, you know, throw it away. And you had to, like, just get word of mouth going, like, literally, physically. And so it was much harder. And the thing is, like, you know, you just have to work at it, right? Like, you just have to try. And now there are so many tools. I'm actually, like, you know, that we use too now, right? Like, I'm really heavily into, like, all that, like, YouTube, social media stuff, because that's the, you know, that's the only way to get my word and my music across to my fans now. And that's an incredible tool that you guys have. So if you're, like, an aspiring producer, here's one thing you shouldn't do, though. Okay, like, I'm actually giving out, like, real advice today on the podcast. Wow. I'm not just saying crazy things. Okay, here's one thing you shouldn't do. Don't DM everybody.
Mm.
Okay? And the one big mistake that I see a lot of, like, aspiring artists make, like, you're not entitled to this. Okay? Like, you're not entitled to people listening to your music. Everyone has, all the listeners have the freedom to choose what they like and to choose what they will listen to. So you don't have the right to force the music on anyone. Okay? The quicker you figure that out, the quicker you figure out that no one has to really listen to your music, the faster the easier it'll be for you to get to the level where people will want to listen to you regardless, okay? Because your music is that good, or you're saying something that people will flock to, okay? Or people will, like, vibe with. And so you're not entitled to this. And I've gotten a ton of, like, I don't check my DMs. And I haven't checked my DMs in years. And I recently went in a few times because I've started this podcast. I realized that some people were sending in questions about the podcast to my DMs. And I don't really even know how to check them. And I went in, and there are certain, like, aspiring musicians that... So they will send a link, but it'll be like, yo, I'm an aspiring producer, or a rapper, so-and-so, listen to this, right? Which is fine, okay. You don't want to take the time to, like, actually, you know, nicely, you know, because I'm sure that this is being DM'd to other artists as well, like, not just to me.
Yeah.
But, you know, take a little time to write it in a way where people are gonna, you know, pay attention to you. Like, maybe introduce yourself a little bit. Maybe say, like, please, you know? But what's crazy is after that, there were more DMs that came from that person. Like, why aren't you responding?
Oh, my God.
What? Am I that shitty? Dude.
Oh.
I haven't heard your music, but I will tell you, like, I don't think you're gonna be able to work with other people with that kind of mentality. Like, if you feel that entitled, no one's gonna want to collab with you. No one's gonna put their hard-earned money behind you. No one's gonna put their lives on the line, and their future on the line to work with somebody that feels like they deserve it. You know?
Yeah.
Without anything happening yet.
With doing arguably the bare minimum.
Yeah. And the thing is, I see a lot of this. Okay? And the reason why I'm saying it is not to complain about them, right? Or not to say that, like, you know, not to be angry or anything. But I'm just saying, if you really want to get your foot in the door, that is the one thing you should not do. Okay? Don't just hit people over the head with, like, this sense of entitlement. Like, nobody in the world deserves success or deserves a chance without, like, earnest work for, like, everybody that's somewhere, everybody that you are DMing, everybody that you are, like, reaching out to, got there because they worked really hard. It's not like they were born into, like, a huge fandom. Yeah. Okay? They worked to get there. So when you try to reach out to them, you know, maybe not do that.
I think maybe especially in music and, like, hip-hop or something, there's this idea that the bigger your ego or persona, the more, like, oh, I'll fake it till I make it with that kind of energy. But you know what's funny? I know, as controversial as he is present day, I know multiple people who've worked directly with Kanye West.
Yeah.
They say literally the most polite,
yes,
nicest human being they've ever seen. Like, literally, like, shy to a point where he would be like, I'm so sorry for interrupting. Do you know where the bathroom is? Sorry. Like that.
Dude, like, every single person that I collab with, there are certain artists that I've collabed with for over 10 years. Okay? And every single person that, like, seems, you know, crazy on stage or, like to the point where they're kind of scary are the most polite, the most caring, and, like, will not demand anything. You know, they will always try to see what more they can do. And that's just the way we all are, like, behind the scenes, right? And what we are on stage or in front of the camera, I mean, like, that's just part of a persona too.
It's just charisma.
Yeah, yeah, but, like, none of us are, like, meeting each other. Well, not none of us, but most of the people that I work with, at least, we're not, like, meeting each other and, like, you know, flexing and stuff.
Well, Two Cuts does believe he can be a pop artist.
Well, yeah, none of us except Two Cuts. But what I'm saying is, yeah, that is the first tip I would give. Like, it's a state of mind. Tell yourself, okay, like, tell yourself right now, you don't deserve or you're not entitled to anything. No one has to listen to what your music or see your videos or like, you know, buy your books. No one has to. Okay? Listeners are totally allowed to ignore you. And there's nothing wrong on their part, right? The quicker you realize this, the faster you will get to the level where people can't ignore you, okay? Where you really truly do deserve to be heard and to be seen. And that's the advice I would give. Yeah, that's the way it was for me. And I don't think that changes.
That's for everything.
That's for all work. Not even art. You know, that's for, like, podcasting even. See? Because I
slide into my DMs, yeah, with your podcast.
Check it out. Dude. Do I deserve to have a bunch of ads on this podcast? Do I deserve to actually be making a little bit of, like, can I at least make the gas money?
Break even.
Okay, the gas money that it took me to get here. can I at least have like the money to pay for this lighting and these cameras that we bought for some reason instead of borrowing?
Seungun is expensive.
Okay, and Seungun looks expensive. Okay, he looks expensive. His skills look expensive. And of course, yeah, I would love to think that I deserve it, right? Because I've been in the music industry for 16 years and like we already have a bunch of listeners. Of course, I can feel that way. But no, like we're on episode like how many? And we're going to have to get to at least like possibly 100 episodes. And then we will start having some kind of revenue to make up for these losses. But what I'm saying is, even 16 years in, I'm totally okay with doing hard, hard work with this podcast to get to the level, to the point where we deserve that Tesla money. All right. Thanks, guys. We'll be back next week. Check out all the previous episodes, too. There's some stuff that you probably missed out on. They're great. Follow us on IG, Twitter. We're available anywhere podcasts are available. And if you enjoyed this show, dude, tell like 3 of your friends, okay? And if you've already told your friends and they're listening, tell them to tell like 3 of their friends. Oh, wait, that would just go in a circle. Tell them to like tell their lovers, their parents, like their Uber driver, their Tada drivers, their like Lyft drivers, just like get the word out for me. Okay?
Grassroots.
We gotta get there. Thank you very much.